Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
Hi, girls. You made it. You are like the gung-ho. You're like, I'm going to get into church. I'm going to get all of God I can get, girls, right? You're the ones like, we made it. All the girls that I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, they better not want me to text them right now. Like, where are you? Why didn't you show up? But I believe God has something for those of us that did come today, and then those that didn't come, hopefully they go back and listen to it online and catch up, okay? So there has been some amazing things in store happening here at The Rock as of the first of the year. How many of you were here on Sunday night? Okay, a couple of you. For some of you that were not here on Sunday night, you should go back online and listen to the CD, because there was a prophecy that was given to our church. There is we're going to be deemed the healing center by the Holy Spirit, that when we pray for someone, they get healed. And it will be known for that, and people will come from everywhere because they hear that they can come get healed here at this house. And so, but that doesn't happen without faith. And so we are teaching on faith. It just so happened we were already teaching on faith. We're already in the vein of healing. She's an evangelist, Cheryl Salem. And she is coming in. We have been talking about this for a year, that she wants to come and do a healing school. And so it's going to be on the 31st. Write that down in your calendars. It's going to start at 9 a.m., not 9:30. 9 a.m. to 12 o'clock. So it's a longer day. We're going to take some time. I'm prepping your hearts now to receive then. And then we're going to just learn about healing, and then we're going to pray, and we're going to believe God for healing. So if you know a woman that needs to get healed, you know someone that needs a touch from heaven, they need to come on the 31st. Tell them to change their appointments. Tell them to get their doctor's reports, whatever it is they're believing God for. Then tell them to get here. That this, even if it's raining, tell them to get here. Go pick them up if you have to, because I believe God wants to do something new inside of us, inside of our church, inside of what it is that we are believing him for. And so today, would you go before me with the Holy Spirit unto the throne room, and let's pray. God, we just love you and we thank you for today, God. And Lord, we ask that you would speak to us today. Lord, that your word would be exciting, Lord, that your word would be a fresh word, Lord, that would pour out in our spirits, that we would be people that are hungry and that are thirsty for the things of God. And so, Lord, today, Holy Spirit, wear me well as I preach. But Lord, I pray that you give them ears to hear as they receive, God, in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Okay, well, how many of you do not know who I am? I just want to make sure. Okay, hi. I'm Pastor Jess. I'm the senior pastor here at the church alongside my husband. And we are teaching here line upon line. We normally go line upon line here, but we have taken a little break to teach on faith. But we're in Ephesians right now. So starting back in February, we're going to pick back up in Ephesians in our women's Bible study. And then also in the main sanctuary, we'll pick up in Colossians. But we have Vision Weekend starting next week in the main sanctuary. So bring someone out for that. You need to be here to find out what God is doing in our church and what the vision of the house is, okay? So Pastor Sue preached last week. How many of you got something from last week? I feel like some of us know what faith is about. Some of us are learning what faith is about, and some of us have no idea what faith is. And so when Pastor Sue taught last week, she was very clear. She made it very understanding. It was such a good word for us to feed on and to meditate on what faith is. Now that we've taken the step of what faith is, if you did not get that, you need to go back and listen to it. And then we're going to go into today how faith comes. Many times people will say, when I was little, I used to hear on movies, that is your faith. You know, they call our Christianity faith. Yes, it's a faith in who God is, but that's not what faith is. Faith is believing in what God can do, the impossible, what we cannot see. We have faith that we're saved. The first miracle, the first step of faith a Christian takes is saying, yes, I'm letting myself go, and I'm going to ask Jesus to come into my heart and be the Lord and Savior of my life. That is a faith confession. That is something we take on in faith, and then we are saved by grace, but we do that through faith and the goodness and the glory of who God is. And so today, We're going to talk about faith. What is faith? Pastor Sue kind of went over this. It is persuasion. It is moral convictions of a religious truth. It is truthfulness of God. It carries assurance. It is belief. It is believe. It is faith. It is fidelity. We learned last week what faith is. This is how we will teach you what faith comes. This is the training of our spirit man. So today you might be sitting here and your flesh wants to get comfortable because is it warm in here? They're cooling it off. Don't let yourself get bored today. Turn on your thinking caps, girls. Get your pens and papers out. You know those notebooks we gave you? Pull them out because this is going to be some lessons for our spirit man. This is not going to be something that our flesh will completely understand because when we're talking about faith, it is the supernatural side of heaven. I believe when I think about faith and when I read the stories in the Word of God, faith is the language of heaven. It is what arrests heaven's attention. It is when the woman with the issue of blood came and she touched the hem of his garment. He said, What just happened? Who touched my garment? He felt her faith. He knew where faith is present. God always showed up and he was able to do something. So I don't want to sit in a room full of women that don't understand what faith is, but I'm going to build you up today and we're going to teach you. We're going to build our hearts. We're going to build ourselves up in our spirit, man. So when life comes, when life hits, when unexpected things happen, what will come up out of us? It'll be faith that will arise because then we'll be ready, we'll be prepared. So this is preparation time for our spirit man. Are you girls ready? All right. This is the word of truth. It is God's word. This Bible right here. How many of you have your Bible? Hold it up. Say, this is my Bible. It is a word of God. It feeds my soul. It's something I eat every day. It's something I trust in. And I live by this. This is the word. All right. Now listen, this Bible is something I'm going to encourage you to start bringing. I'm going to ask you to get a little old school on me. I know you're used to carrying your phones and your iPads and all of your devices. But sometimes you need the old school version of what's going on here. And you need to see it on white and black paper. Because God is writing something. It's a love letter to us. And if we can capture the heartbeat of what God's word is telling us, and we understand the depth of the truth that comes out of the word of God, then we no longer sit idle or we think our own thoughts, but we begin to think his thoughts. We begin to be more like Christ on a daily basis. But I cannot become more like Jesus if I don't know what the word of God says. And if I don't know where to find it, if I don't know where to look for it, I know we have it so easy now. I mean, if I had to call my mom's cell phone, I'm not quite sure if I would know the number, right? Because I just push my favorites and there she is, right? But I want to say, what if for some reason your phone broke or your iPad? Would you be able to say, oh, I'm going to go to Numbers and I'm going to read about Caleb? Am I going to go to Hebrews and I'm going to learn about the history of who the faith men and women of God were that I can stand firm in? You see, I want you to learn. This is a Bible study, so we're going to get into the Bible today. Is that all right with you? Because we got to build ourselves up. So when we talk about God's word, we're talking about it as the final. This is what it is. If God says it, that's how it is. If God's words talks about it, that's what the truth is about it. Not what our world has been saying, not what society says, not what your feelings are telling you, not what is in your head and the enemy is shooting all those little whispers of lies to your heart. What is truth, what is solid, what is unshakable is the word of God. And so when you establish that in your heart, I believe then you can step into some new avenues of faith, but not until you know the word of God as truth, not half truth, not tickling my ears truth. We have religions out there that are now trying to appease everybody and make everyone feel good about their sin. Just come into our church and be sinful and you can never have to change. I just read about it from somebody I know that stepped into a homosexual lifestyle. And they served God all of their lives. And they said, finally, I found a church that will accept me and allow me to live this lifestyle and not convict me about it. And I went, whoa. Listen, you can come to this church. I don't care what walk of life you're in. If you're dealing with homosexual tendencies, whatever, That's awesome. Come in here, hear the word of God, because you're going to have to change, because the conviction of God's word is going to bring truth and shine a light into our hearts. And if God says it's a sin, it's a sin. If God says it's unacceptable to him, it's unacceptable to him. It doesn't go by our feelings. It doesn't go by what we feel. If I went off everything I feel, I would be like those stupid people on TV that are wishy-washy, and God only knows where their lives end up. But listen, you either want God or you don't. And we're not going to blur the lines here at the Rock Church and World Outreach. We're going to speak the word. We're going to say it like it is. We're not going to dabble into what the enemy wants. And I will not be afraid of your faces. And I'll tell you right now, because I have to answer before God. And when I talk about faith, it's a serious topic. When I talk about the word of God, it's uncompromisable. And it will always be offensive. That's the word of God. Because everything in our society screams the opposite of what God says. We used to live in a world, girls, where it was okay to have morals, where it was okay to be holy, where it was okay to say that's not right. But now it's not okay to say that's not right. And it's not okay to say, no, deny that stupid urge. That's not who you are. God created you this way. God formed you. He loved you. He knows. He knows the struggles you're going to go through, and he has a plan to help you get through that. But until we sit here and we learn what God's word says and understand that love is just not taking care of everything and covering it up. But love is getting in your face and saying, no, enough's enough. Love is saying, I love you enough to tell you you're wrong. I love you enough to help you get out of sin. I love you enough to pour out my whole entire life on a cross and my blood be stripped open so that you don't have to live in your sin and misery any longer. That's love. So when the world blurs it, this is where we're going to have to learn to stand, Christians. And you say, oh, I'm a Christian. I love God. So many times I question. I have conversations with people, and I wonder where they're at with God, because I say, if you love God, how can you stain your sin? When I was sinning, I asked my mom, there was about 4 years of sinning, and I would say, I'm not a Christian. I'm not serving God. I mean, there was like a line in the sand, because I never wanted to taint the two. It was like, I'm sinning. This is where I'm at. This is who I am. I don't want God. I don't want church. I want nothing to do with God. But now I'm seeing that we're blending this, and we're just like, we're blending our sinful lives. We're blending this, and then we're calling it love. We're calling it God. We're calling it faith. We're calling it all these things. Christians, enough. All right? So we're going to step into some faith, but I can't step into faith until you understand the seriousness of what the word of God says. There is a passion that this word was written with. This word was not just given without cost. The word was given with blood. His blood was shed so that you could be free. His blood was shed so we could stand in faith and step into who we've been called to be as Christians and daughters of the Most High God. Last night, my daughter came to me, and she's been struggling with some deep emotional things. And she's hearing lies from the enemy. And I got so angry, not at her, but at the devil. Because the lies might be clear, but faith overcomes the lies. You see, the lies, you might hear them and you might think, is that real? Is that true? This is who I am. This becomes our identity because they're constantly coming at us. But if I could build your spirit man up and I can put the word into your heart, when those lies come, you're going to go, no. That's not right. No. Wait, God's word says this, but this is what I'm hearing. No, I'm going to follow my Father's voice, and I'm going to step out in faith against this battle, and I'm going to be victorious over it because I am a daughter of the Most High God. So when these things come at us, I cannot emphasize enough how important the word of God is. If you're wishy-washy on if you believe these are stories, or you believe that maybe these are just fables, and you know, I've heard this one. Oh, well, that was written a long time ago and not for today. They don't live in it. God's not talking about us today. Because God, if he knew my son, if he knew my daughter, if he knew my heart, God does know our hearts. He created us. He does know your son and daughter. He formed them. Listen, and the word says that it is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It says, do not take or remove from my word. You see, God is serious about the word for this reason, because it is the anchor of everything we do. And it is the solid rock of everything we do for the kingdom of God. So I can't even begin to talk about faith and how it comes unless you understand that there has to be a holiness on the word of God. There has to be a reverence for what God's word says. And if we call ourselves Christians, we need to straighten ourselves up again, and we need to believe the word at what it says. The word cannot be compromised. It cannot. It is not shaken. It is powerful. That it's the most read book ever. It's the one everybody's trying to shut down. There's a reason that it's under attack constantly. Because there's power behind it. Because the word of God is life. It brings restoration. It brings healing. It brings people from dry bones that are dead and brings them back to life. It brings us to heaven. It will show us the way, the truth, and the life. But until we understand and we settle something in our hearts that the word is our anchor, and that if it says it, then I'm going to believe it, then this message will mean nothing to you. It'll be another faith message. It could be something that you can go back home and claim and do whatever you're going to do. But if you do not truly believe the word of God, then you will have no anchor to stand on when you have hard times. So are you ready? Do we believe that this is the word, the full truth, and this is where we're going to stand? Because we don't preach anything but Bible here. We don't preach anything but Jesus here. And that's what this is about. We live in a fallen world, but let's find out what God says, because he knew we would be living in this generation at this time in this fallen place. And girls, let me tell you something. This is not the first time the world has been fallen. This is not new. There's nothing new under the sun. If you look at the Romans back in those times, they were sinners of all sinners. They killed each other. They mangled each other. They threw people into the lion's den and watched them eat, and they thought that was fun. Those were games to them. That would be like going to a football game, watching Christians get eaten by lions. You see, we've got to understand that there was such a price paid for us to sit in this room to be able to read these words so that we could understand faith on another level. And so let's get into it. It says in Hebrews 11:6, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him." If it states that without faith it is impossible for us to please God, then humans are seeking to please God, right? We as Christians, what is our goal? We are seeking to please God on a daily basis. Have you ever been at the store and told somebody, hey, God loves you, and you just feel the pleasure of God on it? Maybe you went and you bought somebody a meal because they were asking for food, and you handed them the food, and you just felt like a smile from heaven. Have you ever had those moments? Have you ever had those moments where God said, hey, why don't you just reach out and ask somebody if you could pray for them, and you did, and you stepped out in faith, and you could just feel the pleasure of God on what it was you were doing? You see, those are the moments in life that keep us going, because you are an ambassador of Christ. If you call Jesus your Lord and Savior, if you've asked him to come into your heart, be the Lord and Savior of your life, you are not to sit idle and just come to church, amen here, and go out and live however you want. You are now ambassadors. You are ministers, full-time ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we talk about this, we need to put ourselves in a position of who we are and then who he is. Okay, so here I am. I'm seeking God. I'm looking for the pleasure of God every day on a daily basis. That's going to look different for each of us. I don't know what your struggle is. I don't know who the people are that you walk across every day, the people that are in your life, the ones that should be out of your life. I do not know the ones that are a distraction from the things of God for you, or maybe it's your habits, or maybe it's the ways that you do your daily. And God is saying, let's look at this, because I need you to seek me full-heartedly, because that's where you will find me. And I love that God states that without faith, though, it's impossible to please him. You see, faith is the language of heaven. It's what grabs heaven's attention. When I pray in faith, I feel like God is like, there you go. Come on, let's go. Come on, angels. We're working on her behalf. We're going to make this happen for them. I know that God loves faith. It activates him. It excites him. It's something he's poured into us. It's something we live by. It's something that we need to seek pleasing God with. So the question is, how does faith come? I can just say I have faith, but really, do I have faith? Have you ever been in a moment where you're believing God for something and you're going, I don't know why I'm not getting healed, or I don't know why they didn't get healed, or I don't know why, you know, my wayward child is still not serving God. I don't know. But I'll tell you something. If you activate your faith, then it's in God's hands. And your faith connected to his super, your natural connected to his super becomes a supernatural, and it's activating heaven, working on your behalf. You may not see it right away, but it is happening. And he went to the cross for that. But how does faith come? Number one, it comes by hearing the word of God. Write this down, very hard, so hard, hearing the word of God. It's so deep, right? It's not that deep. But sometimes we do make it so hard because the enemy will come to steal what we're listening to. What are we filling our ears up with? What I always ask my kids, what are you filling your head up with right now? That you're not thinking straight. You're not listening to me, so what are you listening to? Especially my little guy. He's like, you know, I call him, he goes to Thailand. You know, he like floats around in his head and I don't know where he ends up. And I'm like, how come you don't have your shoes on for the 100,000th time? Like, we are in the car. Where are your shoes? Does anyone else have that problem? And when we're there and we're talking and nobody's listening, have you ever felt like a mom? Does anyone listen to me? My mom used to say, I have to yell to get anything done around here. And I would be like, why does she always say that? And now I'm a mom and I'm like, it's true. If you yell, everybody finally listens, right? Sometimes I wonder if heaven feels that way. Like, I have to yell to get your attention. You're not listening to me. And then you wonder why. Well, you didn't listen for like a year. You haven't been listening in your prayer time. You haven't been silencing your world enough to hear my voice. And God says, you have to know that faith comes by hearing. But if we're not hearing God and we're hearing all the other voices around us, then what is our heart being filled up with? It's not being filled up with faith. It's not. Many things are speaking into our lives. Ask yourself this question. Write it down. What am I listening to instead of listening to the voice of God? Is it too much Netflix? Is it too many phone call conversations? When something goes wrong, you call your sister right away. You call your friend right away instead of like, ooh, I need to go get with the Holy Spirit right away and find out what the Holy Spirit needs me to do about this? Is it a negative voice that's coming at you? Maybe you have someone in your life that every time you talk to them, they're just negative Nelly. And then it brings you down, and then you're like, I don't know how to get out of this for like half a day. Well, then you've just blocked the voice of God to be able to come in and speak faith. So what is it that has been distracting you that would be a distracting voice in your life? You know, one time, we went to Disneyland. It was like our very first time. And our daughter was so excited because she was tall enough to ride Star Tours. And so they told her, I guess they told her because I was with the baby, so I didn't go on it. I didn't know this story until Dan had told me and she got off the ride and talked to me about it. And all the way there in line, Dan is pumping her up, telling her she's going to space. Like, we are going to space. It's going to be so amazing. You're going to see Wookiees and all these things. And you know, he's like pumping her up. And she's just like, really? I guess she really, truly believed him. Because that's her dad, right? He's her father. Why would he steer her any other way? She said she got on the ride and she was waiting to get to space. And then she just kept looking around like, are we really there? Is this what we are seeing? And when she got off the ride, I remember her running to me and going, I never went to space. You guys said I was going to space. And I'm like, what happened? And it was because she heard her father's voice. He was messing with her, but she took it at his word. You see, with God, he doesn't mess with us. His voice, when he says something, he means it. When he speaks something, there's power in it. When he declares something, it is a done deal. That is what we can trust. People will always mess with us. People will always joke around, and there's nothing wrong with that. But my point was, is just as she was so innocent in believing that as truth, that the word of God needs to be our truth. That's what we base everything else off of in our life, is what the word says, not what people say, not what even our thoughts tell us, because our thoughts can lead us to places that are ungodly and that have nothing to do with what God's word says or what God's plans are for our life. So how do I get faith? Well, it comes by hearing the word of God. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing. And hearing the word of God. If we are going to make it in life, then we are going to have to learn to listen to God's word. and the Spirit of God that is living within us. When we ask Jesus to come into our hearts and be a new creation in him, that is our first faith step. When you said, yes, I want God, what did you do? You prayed a prayer. You confessed with your mouth that he is Jesus, he is Lord, and that you asked him to come into your heart and be the Lord and Savior of your life. You became a new creation that day, and that was a faith step on your behalf. Now, after you prayed that prayer, all the pimples went away, you became skinny again, and your hair was either curly or straight, however you really wanted it to be, right? No, you smelled the same, you looked the same, you went home, you still lived in the same house, you still had those crazy people in your life. But you know what? There was something in the inside that was different. That sin was gone, that was washed away, and you are now a new creation in Christ, and you had to learn to grow into the new person you've been called to be, right, as a Christian. And so this is what faith is. You heard the word, you said, yes, I want God, then you received him as your Lord and Savior. That is your first faith step. If we are going to make it in life, we're going to have to listen to the word of God. How do I do this? What are different ways of doing this? Number one, go to church. Get your little tushies back in church a little bit more if you need to. You used to come maybe 3 times a week, 2 times a week. Now you're maybe every once in a while, 1 time a week. And you wonder why you're not built up the way you should be. Well, you're not in church as much as you are. You're feeding your spirit man this much and you're feeding your body this much 3 meals a day. How does that work? We're taking care of our flesh more than we are our spirit. And yet, we have a spirit man that is longing to be built up, longing to be built up, longing to be poured into by God, longing to pour out and work through us. This is why we need to come and get the word of God. Also, there's podcast girls. We have our Women Rock site. We have the Rock Church. If you missed all the messages, they're back online. They're free. Just go listen to them. Put them on your car. Get the word as much as you can. Get the word. You know what else we do? We sing the word of God. You can put on worship, and many of the worship songs are based off scripture. Many of the songs will build up your spirit man, and it will just bless you. You know, Jared just sang his song. I was so upset he sang it while I was gone. We went into Ben, so I keep texting him like, come on, please, one more time. And so he sang his song, and you are faithful. I heard the song once. It has been in my spirit man for a month. When I feel tired or weak, I hear that just come up out of me. You are faithful, because then I can get off me and I can get back onto who God is, and I can make it through another day, and I can be sustained by the goodness and his faithfulness to me in my life. So singing is also something God has given us. But not just that, your time alone with him, like we talked about, get alone. I've had so many young moms go, how do I get alone? I don't even get to go alone to the bathroom. Guess what? Do it in pieces. That's what I always tell them. When I had little ones, I would do it in pieces. I would hear Pastor Sue talk about, I had 2 hours with God in the morning. I'm going, I have no hours with God in the morning. I'm a sinner. And it's not that you're a sinner. God is not legalistic in that way. He's not. So take your moments, still the moments you can with God. And the coolest thing about God is God will show up for whatever season you find yourself in, because he's longing to fill your spirit man up. He's longing for you to hear his word. He's longing to be with you. Have you ever had that, you know, that husband when you first met and the butterflies went off on the inside and you were so excited and you got all dolled up and cute and you wanted to look good for your date and you were just so excited? Or how about when you first sat across the table and you were like, oh my goodness, he's so cute. It's so fun. Well, think about, God longs to be with us in such an intimate way that every time that we're with him, he's excited. He's excited as if it's the first moment to be with us, because he loves us so much. And so here it is. We've got to get the word in us so that it can come through us, so that we could speak faith and it becomes something real in our lives. Real faith is built on the word of God. Read it, study it, cherish it for yourselves. It is our spiritual food, and the word will build us up with a confidence that only God can give us. You will not have confidence in anything else. You will not be built up unless you step into hearing the word of God. Number two, believe the word of God. Believe him at his word, girls. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For who has come to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. We have to believe, and we cannot do this on our own. My part is to believe. God's part is to give. My part is to believe. God's part is to give. My part is to believe. God's part is to give. What does that mean? That means when I look at something and it doesn't look the way that I know the word wants it to be, right? For instance, I'll never forget when my son had eczema so bad that he would bleed. He would just bleed and bleed and bleed. And he would scratch and he would cry and I would cry and I couldn't find anything. And I kept hearing the Holy Spirit, don't use the ointment the doctors gave you. Don't do it. Don't do it. And I didn't know why. I didn't know that steroids hurt your kids. And I didn't even know there were steroids in the stuff they were giving me. And then as I heard that, I said to the Holy Spirit, but look at him. He's suffering. I can't help him. I'm doing everything I can. I would throw him an oatmeal bath. I would do everything I can. I would call my mom daily and be like, oh, I'm just such a bad mom. I mean, you feel horrible if you can't help someone and you love them. But I heard the voice of God one day, and he said to me, I want you to go down the street to, I think it was Walgreens. I went down the street, and he goes, I want you to look at the lotion aisle. And I remember standing there in the lotion aisle going, what am I looking for? And I remember the Lord led me to this specific weird lotion that, like, nobody, I thought nobody used it because it was, like, clumpy, and it had, like, oh, now we all know it as essential oils. But, like, back then, I had no idea what this was, and that wasn't popular. It was, like, snake oil, you know? And I found it, and I put it on my hands, and it melted, and I put it on him. It was the first time he didn't cry in one day. There was the first day he did not cry. And the Lord said to me, speak life over him as you begin to rub him down every day. And I would put that lotion on him, and I would pray in the name of Jesus, you're healed, that this eczema will go away, that this will not be something you live with the rest of your life, and that you will be healed from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. And I would just speak life over my son. This went on for about a month. After that month, that eczema did go away, and to this day, he still does not have it. He has markings of it, but he does not have eczema. He does not live with this thing that could hurt him and that could take him out. But it wasn't until I just truly believed God's word. The doctors didn't have an answer for me. Nobody had an answer for me. I saw suffering in front of me. I was speaking the word, but it wasn't happening. But I had to put action to my faith, and I had to hear the Holy Spirit and go and do what he asked. And then I had to believe him at his word, and his word said to speak over him. And I did, and I saw results. You see, faith comes in so many different avenues. It's for one person, they get hands laid on them, they're healed right away. Maybe it takes 3 or 4 days for somebody else to get healed. Maybe there's times where you say, I believed God for this person, but this is not how I see it. And God, you didn't show up. But how do you know God didn't show up? Because you don't know what they're believing for in their own faith journey. You don't know what God is doing on the back end. You don't know what heaven is doing and moving around so that there can be some miracle that will come down from heaven and break open when you least expect it. You see, faith doesn't question what God doesn't do. Faith does not do that. It believes what God can do, and it declares the promises of who he is, and it reminds Satan, it puts him on notice. This is what's going to happen because this is what he did on that cross, and his blood covers this and washes away my sins, cleanses all of our infirmities and our sicknesses. You see, but you have to believe that. Belief is a powerful thing. Have you ever had someone lie to you, and boy, did you believe them? They were good liars, right? And you're like, there's no way they're lying to me. I remember when I was little, I was a good liar. Oh man, my mom believed me, and my dad would go, she's lying. And my mom would go, no, 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 Jim. She's not lying. And no, she's lying. You know, prophet, perceiver, dad knew. And mom wanted to believe the best. So thanks, mom. But I did take advantage of you. And I had this lying spirit on me. And I remember my mom and dad finally pulling me in because it got to the point where I would, this is what I said to myself. If I say it out of my mouth, then it can be truth and I'll believe it. So then it's not a lie. And it was like, what? what? That is, yes, it is deception. It was the ultimate lie, and I was living in it and truly believing it, but in my heart I knew it was wrong, but I didn't know how to get away from it. Little did I know there was a lying spirit of oppression on me, and that I needed to break that off, and I needed to step away from it, and I needed to believe God for that. And so my mom pulled me into the front living room. She said, come on, we're going to pray this off you. And sure enough, we prayed that lying spirit off. I can't lie to this day. Like, even if it's a little, like, something, I'm like, I always have a weird face. I can't even say it out of my mouth. And it's probably why I'm way too truthful and passionate. And you guys are like, she is way too blunt. Well, it's because it's either one or the other, baby. And I'd rather tell the truth than tell a lie. So I got to say it like it is. And that is where I believed God that day. That day I sat down and I said, God, I know I need deliverance from this. And your word says that you will deliver me from this. And he did. He broke that stupid, foul, evil spirit off of me, and I've never been the same. He can do for me what he will do for you, but you have to believe him at his word. Is he your God? Does he deliver? Does he perform miracles? Is he the same yesterday, today, and forever? Those are things you're going to have to settle into your heart, because once you believe God at his word, nothing can take you off of it. I'll tell you, there's been times when I'm believing for something and it's like the devil, since the right after I say I'm going to believe for something, somebody comes along and says the opposite of what I'm believing for. The opposite. Now listen, don't believe for dumb things like really bad relationships or something like that. That is not something to believe for. But what you can believe for is something in the will of God. What is the will of God? If it's good for God, good for others, and good for you, God's will is usually, and if there's a piece of God, you can find it in the word on your behalf, it's the will of God. If it's something that is not inside the wheelhouse of God, it's not the heartbeat of God, then you're wasting your time. Find out what God's heartbeat is for your life, where God needs you to be, what God needs for your children, what God needs for your mind and your soul and your body. This is your journey, girls, but he's with you in it and you're not alone. He wants you to be a believer. He wants you to trust him. When do I believe? When I pray for it? You will get it in the inward man first. You can pray for this. Did you know that? In Revelations 1 and Revelations 3, there are two prayers. Both prayers, both of them are going to build up your spirit man and put you into an attitude of faith and belief, and it will build up that inner man inside of you so that your faith will have a greater revelation of who God is, and that is part of the prayers. Okay, so write that down, Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3. Look them back. You want me to go there with you real quick? Let me write them down for you. We're going through Ephesians. So, and you guys, some of you that have been here a long time, you know these are my favorite verses. I spoke them over my children every day, and I put their names in them. And I'm telling you, I believe this is why they're so amazing. But I am a mom. I think they're amazing. But it's Ephesians 1:15. Okay, write this down. Through 23. Okay, Ephesians 1:15 through 23. Ephesians 3:14 through 21. Okay, did you get that? Okay, awesome. Those are two keys that you guys could pray over yourself, throw your name in there, throw your children's name in there, and God will just build up your spirit, man, and it will deepen your faith in who God is. There was an evangelist, a healing evangelist. He's passed since then, but his name was Kenneth Hagin. Does anybody know who he is? I went to the Bible college. I didn't know who he was. So when he walked in the room, everybody stood up. I'm like, why are we standing up? And they were like, this is Kenneth Hagin. I don't know who he is. So when he would talk, though, he would just be so practical in his storytelling. He had story after story after story of who God was, what God did in his presence, how God used him. And his faith, you guys, was simple. It wasn't this like, I got to pray demons out of doorknobs for 10 hours. No, he just said it. He believed it and he moved on. And he said that while he was in a healing crusade, a lady came up to him and she said, can you please pray for me? I feel like I have cancer. And he was like, then I'm not going to pray for you. You've already spoken over yourself that you have cancer. And if you keep saying it, you're going to believe that. And your belief, I can't go against what you believe. You have to change your belief system in this. And you see, in Matthew 9:28, it says he came into a house. This is Jesus walked into a house. And the blind man came to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this, to heal you? And they said to him, yes, Lord, verse 29, and then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. What is your faith at? Where's your faith? What can you believe God for today? Do you believe that he's your healer? Do you believe that God loves you? Do you believe that God wants to see your family saved? Do you believe that God wants to take you to new levels and new places? Do you believe that everything the enemy has stolen, that he has to return it back to you sevenfold, because that's what the Bible says? You see, what do you believe? He said that there was another woman at the same meeting, and she came up and she said, I believe that I am getting a cold. And he told her, well, if that is what you believe, then it would do me no good to pray for you. You see, we've got to get our faith behind what we're doing. We have to walk by faith and not by sight. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says that. Walk by faith, not by sight. Now listen, this is not some new age thinking where, like, if I think positive thoughts, then I'm going to get healed. This has nothing, this is not no woo-woo new age guru goofball stuff like Pastor Jim says. It is not that. What this is, it's the word of God. And we don't deny the facts. The facts are this or that. But what does God say on the other side of it? You see, you're not denying the plain symptoms that you're having, but you're looking beyond them to pray in and believe God for his promises in your life and in your healing. If God says it, then you can believe it. And that is how it is. Smith Wigglesworth says this. I love this man. He was also another crazy evangelist who had some amazing stories. If you ever want to go back and just have a good read, read some of his books, because, oh my goodness, the stories that he had gone through. He said, you can get more out of God by believing him for 1 minute than I can get by shouting at him all night long. See, you can tell God all you want, what you think should happen, how you think it should happen, but you're not going to get much from God. But when you begin to believe God at his word and you speak the will of God by faith into what's happening, then you're going to begin to see results. And you may not see them right away, girls, because it's in the waiting time that God begins to do some lessons on you and in your heart and in your family. And you wouldn't even be ready for the miracle yet until you got to the point of the process of the waiting time. You see, don't deny the waiting time. Those are your good fight moments. Those are the good fights of faith. That's a whole nother message. Because when we fight a good fight of faith, God's there for us. And God will believe, if we believe him at his word. So number one, hearing his word, believing. And number three, speaking the word of God. That's how faith comes. Romans 10:8 says, but what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which is preached. Let's take a look at Caleb. Let's go to Numbers. Numbers 13. Here's Caleb. Moses is sending them out into go spy out the land. They're checking out this new land. They want to know, is it good? Can we invade it? Can we overtake these people? They go out and they spy out the land. They find out that there's milk and that there's honey and that there's fruit. But guess what? There's giants and there's evil people and we cannot overtake them. The same type of giants that Goliath was. That's who they were coming up against. So when they returned, they were telling Moses, no, we can't do this. We cannot do this. We will not be able to overtake them. And everybody, all the Israelites, they get all stirred up and they start complaining and murmuring and freaking out. And then Caleb jumps in on Numbers 13:30 and he says, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and he said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. You see, he said in the midst of the negative chaos, he stood ground and he said, we can do this because God has always been on our side. Girls, I'm here to tell you today you can do this because you have a God in heaven who's on your side. You have a God in heaven who wants the best for you, not the worst for you. You have a God in heaven who died on a cross for you so that you can go forward into this world and you can speak the word of God with authority and grace and the goodness and the blessing that will flow out of your mouth. You can do this because no weapon formed against you will prosper. You can do this because the word that is shut up in your bones will not be silenced. You can do this because God has asked you to do it. That means he's going to back you in it. He's going to make a plan for you in it. He's going to open the doorways. He's going to shut the doorways that don't need to be opened. You need to trust him in it. You need to speak the word. Caleb began to declare what God was doing in his life. Caleb's words were declarations and a conviction, a confession before all of Israel. We are well able to overcome is what he said. He has surveyed the land and remembered that faith is not blind. Faith is not blind. It's not some stupid thing when you go, you know what? I see this, but I'm not going to believe for that. I'm going to believe for something different because I may not be able to see it right now. But I know that it's the will of God for it to happen. So therefore, I'm going to speak what God's word says over this situation, that my children will come back from their borders and they will come back to their borders, and that they will serve God, that the word will not turn void in their life. I believe that for your children, girls, that your marriage is ordained and anointed by God, and that God, what he has put together, let no man separate. You see, there are things you can begin to declare over your life, over your finances, over your healing, over those things in which the devil wants to say no to, God says yes to. And you need to begin to speak the yeses in your life. You see, he saw and he spoke something that no one else did, Caleb did. And he was alone in it. Sometimes you're going to feel very alone in your faith journey. Sometimes you're going to say something and no one's going to get it. So sometimes it's better not to say it. Don't say it to people. Don't cast your pearls before swine, the Bible says. Sometimes you be careful with what's in your heart, but you can be in your bedroom and you can tell, nope, God, now this is what's going to happen. When somebody says something stupid to you, opposite of what it is that you're doing, you can say, you have your beliefs, but I know my God. He's going to come through and he's going to be faithful in this. You see, you can change the atmosphere of where you're living. It's all what you decide to do with the word of God that has been given to you. You can sit idle with it your whole life. And you can get by and just ease by this life in just an easy way. Or you can put the word to work for yourself. And you can put it to work for your kids. And you can put it to work for your finances. You can put it to work for your household. And you can begin to declare some things that I believe God wants for you. I believe God is saying, stop being okay with the mediocre. Stop sitting complacent, church. I have done way too much and I have given you way too much power for you to be sitting and doing nothing. Begin to speak the word over yourself. Find out what God's word says and believe him. Matthew 11, 23 through 24 says that for assuredly I say to you, he's not talking to people that are not Christians. He's talking to you, daughter of the Most High God, and he's not saying it because we do it. He's saying it because we need to be reminded of this daily. For I say unto you, whoever says to that mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, that he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you, just think about them. When you sometimes give God a token prayer? No. But when you pray in faith, there's nothing like a woman when she's on a mission, praying in faith, when she stands in her room on behalf between heaven and hell for her children, between heaven and hell for her marriage, between heaven and hell over her finances, between heaven and hell over that sickness that wants to take you out. Listen, girlfriend, every sick thing in your body does not have to live because God died on the cross for it, and you can declare his healing over it. I've seen God bring limbs back. I watched as a little girl legs grow back together. I watched blind eyes open. I've seen deaf people here because that's my God. So when someone says, oh, well, he didn't heal me, I say, but he can. And where is your faith? You see, so many times you can tell me all you want, but I've seen God move. I've seen him move. Maybe I haven't seen him in every situation, but I'm not in everyone's world and I'm not in everyone's heart and I'm not in everyone's prayer life. But in my own prayer life, and in my own world, and in my own relationship with God, where do I stand when I'm alone in that room and I've got to fight the devil off? What do I say and what do I do? What do I believe? Do I believe he's going to take my daughter out with these evil thoughts and she's going to commit suicide one day? Hell no. Try me. Take it on. Come on, devil. You mess with the wrong mama and you mess with the wrong girl because I'm up in my room praying for it and she's in her room praying against it. And no weapon formed against our family, no assignment will prosper. You see, depression wants to come over you. Those thoughts of suicide and rage and anger want to come upon you. But if you recognize that there's a spirit behind it, you let your spirit man fill up and you become that one that that spirit is afraid of. Remember, greater is he that is is in you than he that is in the world. Girl, stand up to your feet and know that there is a God in heaven who has your back, who's not going to take you out, not going to take your kids out, not going to take this church out. I don't care where you're standing today and what you're believing God for, but he is more than enough. He is more than enough. He is more than enough. Give him a praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, you say, God, she's such a big mouth. Absolutely one, because there's no way in hell I'm letting him come after you, and there's no way in hell he's coming after me or my kids. So if that means that I don't sleep for 5 days because I'm in prayer, then that's what I got to do. But I don't believe it's that complicated. I believe that when I say you have to go, he already has to go. I'm not in there casting demons out of doorknobs and prevailing and trailing, screaming and falling on the ground. No, I'm like taking my authority going, I know who I am and I know who you are and you have no place. So you got to go. I love the story of Smith Wigglesworth when he woke up in the middle of the night and he had this creepy feeling. He looked at the end of the bed and he said, oh, it's just you, Satan. And he rolled over and went back to sleep. You know why? Because he knew who he was. Girls, who are you? Who lives within you? The greater one. Speak the word. The enemy hates the word. The enemy hates scripture. The enemy hates this Bible. One time I was casting a demon out of someone. I pulled the Bible out. You should have seen that guy crawled on the roof. I'm not kidding you, because they were afraid of the word of God. They know that there is power in the word of God. You see, don't underestimate what is right at our fingertips, what the world wants to diminish, what they want to say is fables and fairy tales and not real and there's no power in it. That's just some man a long time ago writing stories. Let me tell you something. He's the God who created every single person in this world. He's the one who can stop this world in any second. He's the one who knows every breath that you breathe, every 150 hairs you lost in the shower this morning. He knows the hurts. He knows the beliefs that you need to step into. He knows where you need to go. So he's pushing you and he's funneling you down courses and ways to get you into a faith belief and to a faith confirmation of who he is. And you wonder, why am I being pushed so much by God? Why is he testing me so much? Why is God coming down on me so much? Why do I feel so weighted down? Because God is saying, you've got to strip away the sin. You've got to get rid of what is stopping you from finding out who you are in Christ. I've got to funnel those things out of your life so that I become the only source that drops into your heart. You see, faith is not a joke. And it's not just a word we say, well, that's your faith. No, there's power. There's power. And girls, if we could step into the power of what God has for us, what could you do for the kingdom? What souls would be saved instead of going to hell? What selfish desires would change because we no longer are looking at ourselves, but really we're looking for what God needs us to look for? And we find pleasure in who we are because we are who he created us to be. You see, speaking life over ourselves, speaking peace over ourselves. Listen, girls, every time I see an empty seat, I speak life over it. I declare a body in it. You'll see me walking through sanctuaries. You'll see me walking through. I'll just lay hands on seats. And I'm like, Lord, whoever needs to be here, I ask for their soul to come. I pray that you make a divine way for them to get here. And Lord, that they would hear the truth and that they would hear your word and that they'd receive it and they would get saved. When I drive through a parking lot on a Sunday or a Saturday morning and I see empty parking spots, do you know what I do? I begin to pray over every empty parking spot so that the families that should be in cars, to be in those cars, would come and that they'd receive the truth of God's word and the love of Jesus and that they would know his goodness and that they would be saved. I'm in faith over those things. You think it doesn't break my heart to see people leave? I hate it because when I see them leave, I don't see them prospering. I see them failing. I see them sometimes going to church. I see their families falling apart. I've heard of divorce of people that were so connected here. Why? Because when we step away from God, when we don't put him first, when we begin to think we can do things better than what he can do, then God doesn't move. But we need God to begin to move on our behalf. That means I've got to speak some things in faith over some areas that I need changed. What are some areas? Write this down that you want to see some change. Maybe it's a personal thing. Maybe it's health. Maybe it's relationships. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's settlements. Maybe, I don't know. What is it you're dealing with? Write it down. And you need to see change in this area. And then I'm going to challenge you today to go home. Can we do this? It's a Bible study, so I expect you to do some little homework, okay? Go home and find a scripture for what you want to see change in and begin to speak that word over that change. Can you do that for me? Speak the word over what you want to see, all right? Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. I love Erwin Lutzer. Lutzer, I don't even know how to say this. I always like mess these poor people's names up, you know? But he said this, and I thought it was really good. Faith is only as good as the object in which it is placed. I put all of my faith in God. I don't put my faith in man. I don't put my faith in my car or my home, my job. I don't put my faith in people I work with or not work with, or I don't put my faith in any of that. I put my faith in Jesus Christ. He's the solid rock of my foundation. He's the one I can rely on. He's my anchor. He's the constant in time of need. He's the one that is always there in the darkest places, and he's there in the happiest moments. He's there. He's blessing, and he's encouraging. He's strengthening, and he's equipping. Put your trust and your faith in him. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Then we get into our spirit man. We receive it, so we believe him at his word. We pray for the eyes of our understanding to be opened, Ephesians 1 and 3. Remember to go back and look those up. How does faith come? It comes by hearing, by believing, and by speaking the word of God. If you got something from God today, please give him a hand. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.